It's Election Day Eve, and the right, after several struggling months, is itching for a comeback. I'm Cabin Fever, and this is The Weekly. Tomorrow kicks off the February election, which will decide the control of all four state legislatures and two governor's mansions. The left has been surging and seeks mainly to hold their ground without a whole lot of territory left to capture. The exception is Jefferson. The newly renamed Libertarian Republicans control the parliament and are competing to take the governorship from Governor and Global Labor Party Chair Sis Edmund. Today, I sit down with Parliament Speaker and gubernatorial candidate Computer Guy to discuss the Libertarian rebrand and his run. Then I'm joined by his running mate and founder of the new pirate party, Ryuki. Quick note, a couple times in Ryuki's interview, I refer to the office of First Secretary as the Lieutenant Governorship. That was my error. This northern air must be getting to me. With that, Computer Guy. Computer Guy, welcome back to The Weekly.
Thank you for having me, Cam. It's a pleasure.
Yeah, same to you. I want to talk to you here on the eve of the February elections about how the newly rebranded Libertarian Republicans are doing. You guys have caught a little bit of attention in recent days as losing some high-profile members, and with the rise of a new party that's taking some from the right, the Pirate Party. Just kind of want to see how you're looking at your state and, I guess, your plans to kind of recover any losses you've taken.
You know, ever since I became vice chair, I've made it a mission to try to listen to my members as much as I could, because I felt like in the past we were lived up in this duopoly where, you know, people weren't being listened to, including myself, I guess in that sense. But I think this rebranding and we've been listening to people, we've been listening to feedback. In fact, I actually tried talking to someone about joining the Libertarian Party before the rebranding. And one of the reasons for them not joining is because they thought that we were not as big tent as we were. We actually are a pretty big tent party. We don't really rely as much on our platform as most other parties. Mm-hmm. So we need to sort of rebrand ourselves as that big tent right-wing party, while still maintaining some libertarian values, whether it be fiscally or civil-wise. So that is our main goal. That's why we rebranded, and we hope it can energize a new base.
Okay. Do you see any... I know you mentioned in the announcement, or maybe it was Elkrid who announced it, but the party announced that you were revising some internal things beyond just the rebranding with the new name. Are there any platform changes coming up? Anything significant there? I know former VP Webb took to Twitter and said that if you're trying to court people like him, abortion is going to have to be a part of that. So are there any changes in that kind of direction?
I mean, I don't know what type of changes we're making to the platform, but what we are doing is we're having a platform convention where all our members can speak and talk about the platform and have a voice in what we put out there. So that's our main goal is, you know, with me and Elkridge, is we want to listen to people, we want to listen to our members, and we want them to have a say in our platform. So that's why we're holding the convention. We're not having it be closed door. We're having it be a fully open and transparent process.
Okay. So what would the process be, I guess, for making those changes? Is it like you take ideas from this forum and then the executives do something with it? And then does that like get taken back to the members, or is it purely, you know, the membership says things and then they vote and that goes, that's part of the platform now?
I mean, we're still hammering out the details, but I think, you know, either or could work. Okay. But as of right now, we're actually starting the convention, but we believe that, at least how I lean, I think it's the membership that should vote on the platform. That's at least how I lean in there. So that's my view on it, but depends on how the party views it and how the executive views it as well.
Okay.
But from my guess, I would think that it would lean towards the membership.
Okay. How are you feeling about the upcoming election? You guys have lost some ground. You have a few big names still in there in the in positions, but the governorships have pretty much gone away. And from the looks of things, there's not a great effort to contest those aside from yourself. So I guess what's the status of your competitiveness?
You've noticed a pivot point. You know, we've started to pivot towards focusing on a couple more states. And that's because we want to rebuild ourselves. And if we can rebuild ourselves, pivot across a couple states, then, you know, we can have a lot more power in the future. Obviously, you know, we've had members leave. We've had new members join as well. We've had some good new members join. But ultimately, our goal is to try to pivot across a couple states and then use that to expand. So that's our main goal at this point. We feel pretty good about our strategy going into this election.
Okay. What would a good election night look like for you and the party?
Our good election night, maintain the Jefferson Parliament, is definitely strategies right now. We want to maintain the Jefferson Parliament. We want to keep that libertarian control. Jefferson has, you know, always been hotly contested between the libertarians and the global labor party, and maybe a little bit of SDP in there as well. Okay. But also, the Dixie Assembly is another important one that we want to focus on. We want to get control and maintain control of the Dixie Assembly as well. The North, I hate to say it, but that's a lost cause. That's always been left-leaning dominated, unfortunately. And Puerto Rico, we're having a little bit of a focus on, but not as much as Dixie and Jefferson at this point.
So Jefferson's a primary target, looking to take back Dixie. I guess this, obviously you're trying to get as many as possible, but what do you see the outlook as with Drunk running uncontested as governor down there? In terms of passing policy, or are you guys seeking to just be a stopgap from the single coalition control that we're seeing right now?
I mean, honestly, your second point being a stopgap between single coalition control, but one of the things I want to mention is, you know, at least from my perspective, you know, we're willing to work with people of other parties. We're not completely closed-minded to other ideas. You know, we have the same goals, but we have completely different ways of getting there. And if we can work to compromise on those, that's all I want, and that's how I want my party to move forward. It's as simple as that. So ultimately, you know, we're happy to work with Governor Drunk on whatever policies he needs to work on, and, you know, we'll give him different ideas on how to make that happen.
Okay. Let's pivot a little bit to your race specifically. So obviously you are running for Governor Jefferson. What led to that decision, and what are you hoping to accomplish if you are elected?
You know, I think people are sick and tired of, you know, not being heard. It's the number one thing that people hear in public service. I want to be heard. And I ran for public service because I felt like not enough people were being helped. I feel like, you know, people were not being listened to. And that's the main reason why I'm running. And there's a reason why I'm running as an independent. And the reason why I'm running as an independent, even though I'm such a high profile figure in the Libertarian Party, is because I want to make it clear right here and right now that party politics is not going to be a part of any of my decisions as governor. It wasn't during my last term as governor, nor will it be this time around. And ultimately, that's my goal, is to take party politics out of it and to just make a rational decision based on the facts and use discussion as a building point so that, you know, we can rebuild Jefferson and make it the best state of the union.
Would you say that Governor Sisseman has not been doing those things, listening to constituents, working for their interests?
You know, honestly, I remember during his first secretary hearing, his weakness was time management. He said something in relation to, you know, putting too much focus on different projects. One of the main concerns that I have with Governor Sis, I think he's done an okay job. I'm not going to criticize him on that front. Like, there's some stuff that he's done a good job in. But one of the things that, you know, I think as a weak point that I see is he does too much. And you might be asking, what do I mean by he does too much? He is a representative. He's a governor, full-time governor. He's a full-time leader in the House. And he's Attorney General of the United States. That is a really packed schedule. And you can tell this because if you look through his court filings, he's asking for extension after extension after extension. And if you look at his governor record, you can tell because if you look, he told us he was going to have a cabinet. He was going to start nominating people. He told us about 2 weeks ago that he was going to do it within a couple days. He hasn't nominated anyone until today. So it's pretty clear that, you know, he needs to put his focus on at least one thing and then, you know, resign from another. I can pledge to the Jefferson people that my only focus will be on them and them only, not everybody else that he works under. It'll just be on Jefferson itself. That's it. That's the whole part of the plan. And that's what we need. We need a governor that's dedicated. And that's the simple process.
Mm-hmm. I should note we're recording on Election Eve, Thursday the 4th. Just as you mentioned, things happening today. put that in context. Talk to me a little bit about your choice to select Ryuki as your running mate. He is obviously chair of the new pirate party. Is that like an effort to build coalition, or is that decision kind of independent of party considerations?
Politics out of my run. Honestly, I'm going to be honest. When I voted against Ryuki as first secretary, the reason why I voted against him was because I felt like he didn't have the experience. He didn't have really much state government experience. And it was mainly the thing that, you know, I felt like he wasn't prepared to take over as governor if needed. But now, after working with him, obviously with being a friend, working with him on bills, working with him on legislation, having discussions with him, I felt like as a leader, he has stepped up to the plate. His ideas are definitely something that, you know, are really promising for the Commonwealth, especially with record keeping, with our record keeping being really bad. It always has been bad, unfortunately. But ultimately, because of his, you know, leapfrog in his leadership and his dedication and his experience, that's why I picked him.
All right. And I think that's all I have. Is there anything I missed? Anything that you want to talk about while I have you?
No, that should be it.
All right. Thank you again for coming on, and good luck tomorrow.
Thank you very much, Kevin.
Ryuki, welcome to the Weekly.
Thank you, Kevin.
So obviously, like, you're in the headlines these days with the new Pirate Party, and we had the Workers' Party on last week to discuss their intro. Just kind of going to follow the same pattern here. Can you just kind of describe very briefly what is the Pirate Party? What are you guys looking to do in the country?
Well, with the Pirate Party, one of the main focuses with the party is copyright reform and patent reform. Obviously, with how big the internet is, copyright has become a lot more, become a much larger issue because of, you know, you see sites like YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, where information has become so easier to spread. With patents, obviously, one of the core issues with the Pirate Party is the concept of breaking up monopolies. And with patents and with copyright, essentially, you're granted a free monopoly, which, depending on the person, it can be used generously or it can be used maliciously. And in some cases, we've seen patents be abused maliciously with the rising of prices or unfair copyright strikes.
Okay, so obviously this is kind of a non-traditional focus for a platform. Most parties, when they start up, have a much broader breadth of what they want to tackle nationwide. Are there issues, and I'm picking through the platform here a little bit, but just broadly outside of the main focus of internet reform and copyright issues, where would you place you and your members kind of on the scale of our current political system? So, libertarians to workers.
I would say the general aim is to be a more libertarian, right-leaning party.
Okay. Would you say, like, more conservative than the libertarian Republicans? I gotta get used to saying that name. That's new. More, like, on a social conservative, more economically conservative, what kind of... Or are you just generally in the ballpark with them?
I would say we're more economically conservative while being more socially liberal.
Okay.
More like the traditional pirate part, or more the more traditional libertarian philosophy.
Sure. Digging into the platform a little bit, the first thing I want to ask you about, outside of a lot of technical internet items I don't understand well enough to do an interview on, under education, you say that parents should have control of and responsibility for all funds expended for their children's education. What does that look like in your vision for it? Is that school choice? Is that parents driving curriculums through, like, school boards? Or is that more like the policy that I helped implement in Dixie for graduates, where they get a lump sum to put toward the education that they need? Are you looking to, like, take that all throughout the school ages? What have you been the party kind of looking for here?
I would I would definitely say you're more focused on school choice. Definitely, when you look at public education, there are good schools where you can gain, you know, top tier education, and fortunately I've been the benefactor of such education. But then you can look at, there are clearly schools where, you know, the administration, they don't treat their students kindly. They don't provide the best education, and whether that's because they're underfunded or they just, you know, they're just not good people. Parents should have a choice to decide where not only their money, but where their kids go when it comes to schooling.
So, I guess as I kind of pick through here, I'll shift focus a little bit. Obviously, we're recording this on Thursday the 4th, which is the eve of the February state elections. How are you looking in terms of candidates you're running? Is there like a particular state that you're targeting for getting members in? What's your outlook on the election starting tomorrow?
I would definitely say, when you look at which candidates from the Pirate Party have announced their candidacy, the North seems to be a focus, with obviously recent recruit Jingle and upcomer One-Eyed Jack both running for delegate seats. Obviously, I'm running for re-election for my parliament seat in Jefferson, in addition to running for the DC chair seat once again. And then we have another political newcomer, Antifa, who's running for Dixie seat assembly 2. And we also have Bram Everett, who's running for the 3rd Puerto Rico assembly seat.
Okay. What would a good election night look like for the Pirate Party? What are you, I guess that's just it. What's a good outcome for you guys?
A good outcome, obviously, is where we win all the seats that we're running for.
Sure.
But given that we're a recent party or a new party, and voters most likely aren't familiar with our party just yet, I would say hopefully our more recognizable candidates, such as myself and Jingle, have better success. I would also prefer that we can secure the 3rd delegate seat in the North, given that that is also a seat that seems to be contested by fellow political newcomers, or newcomers to the scene.
My old stomping ground. I want to kind of move on to the upcoming governor's race that you're a part of as Libertarian Republican computer guy's running mate. How did that relationship come to be, where you two were on the same ticket? And does that imply any sort of cooperation between the parties, or is that more specific between you two as individuals?
Well, our relation dates back quite a few months ago. Obviously, me and CG have been former party members within the Libertarian Party, and we currently serve within the parliament itself. Right around the time when it was time to discuss the governor candidates, CG reached out to me as a potential pick for FS. I said that I would be willing to I would be willing to be his running mate, and when eventually the time came for him to announce his candidacy, and he once again asked me if I would be interested to be his FS, I said yes.
How do you feel about going up in debate against Speaker Rose?
Well, I hold much respect for the current speaker. I first encountered Rose during my time as chair of the DC Council, where I get a chance to see her participate within debate, and when I helped her with her with the bill that she proposed within the council. But that's in the past. Currently, it goes without saying, Rose will definitely be a far more difficult opponent to contend with. But regardless, I look forward to the opportunity to have a friendly and fair debate with her, and that's about it.
All right. I believe that's all I have for you. Did I miss anything? Was there anything you'd like to go over while I have you here?
Nothing much. The only other thing I can really say is, obviously, I hope everybody pays attention to the elections, and I hope me and CG's message of unity will spread across, or will be felt across the state of Jefferson.
All right, Ryuki, thank you again, and good luck tomorrow.
Thank you so much. Have a great night.
You too. Here's what else you need to know this week. Former Senator Jett was found guilty of assault and sentenced to 30 days in jail. This is likely to make for a significant obstacle to his current run for governor of Puerto Rico. His opponent in that race, Draven Prince, resigned as D.C. Attorney General shortly after our interview with him in the last episode. Jett's appeal to the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals failed, and it remains to be seen whether he will explore other legal avenues. A number of other indictments were handed down from a grand jury on Monday, including a theft charge for former Representative Pullman, two charges of public urination for former Senator Trash, and, most notably, a charge of unwarranted use of a firearm for President Sandoval. Remember to subscribe wherever you listen for the latest episodes, bringing you the biggest news. The Weekly is a public record podcast.